I saw somebody was having a go at Cyndi Lauper, 71 years old, on stage, giving it jip, and some bloke, as you can imagine, said, "What's happened to Cyndi
Oh,
Lauper?" And it's
yeah.
like, for God's sake, she's 71. You know, are
What?
you going to be able to
Yeah.
still give it jip when you're 71? If you can, fair enough. If you can't, shut the fuck up.
What is it about people who can't seem to accept that women
I
age?
know, I know. Well, it's a Pamela Anderson no makeup thing again, isn't it? The shocker of
Yeah.
it. The horror. But was it ever thus, David? Go back to witchcraft trials of the 16th century. Women of a certain age, who weren't married especially, are often persecuted, regarded with suspicion, derision, all this stuff, because they're no longer functioning women, because they can't have babies anymore. Anyway,
Anyway, let's
let's not
gloss
the blood
on.
boil
Okay.
already. We are celebrating LGBTQ History Month.
We are.
Yes. Which is obviously a month which shines a light on forgotten histories, histories which were hidden deliberately or hidden unconsciously. And as two puffs of a certain age, we are flying the flag.
We're flying the flag.
Yes, we are, our rainbow flag. And we are looking today at a seminal piece of television, taking the telly TARDIS back to 1975, as we examine The Naked Civil Servant, which is broadcast by ITV on the 17th of December, 1975. I don't know if a lot of people have heard of it, actually, these days, but it was a groundbreaking piece of telly. It's on YouTube. Stop what you're doing, go and watch it. It's an hour and 15 minutes, then come back.
It's about the life of Quentin Crisp, isn't
It
it?
is, yes. Quentin Crisp was, back in the day, a kind of raconteur. This actually made him famous, this dramatisation of his autobiography, which tells his story of being a openly homosexual, flamboyantly camp man in the 1930s, 1940s.
It's not necessarily a controversial piece if you look at it these days, but certainly at the time, even though it was kind of heaped with praise from critics, must have been quite an unusual program for the casual viewer to
God,
watch, you know, on prime time ITV.
yeah. Well, it's the first time viewers are seeing gay men in bed together, and as we've discussed, still to this day, the gay best friend trope of Bridget Jones last week, gay men are very rarely, until relatively recently, shown to have a sex life or to have a personal life or to have a life. So this was beamed into TVs in 1975. Must have blown people's minds. And I'll tell you how much of a cultural impact it made. My parents wouldn't have watched it, but certainly when I was a kid, the name Quentin Crisp was a household name. That's how much of an impact it had made. He'd become part of the social currency. Have you got any relationships with the Naked Civil Servant?
I've never seen it,
Right.
but like you say, The Naked Civil Servant and Quentin Crisp, I know about them. You know, particularly I know that this film was very celebrated at the time, and that Quentin Crisp was a sort of a pioneer in a way, wasn't he, of you know, the gay rights movement, not necessarily involved in the gay rights movement, but as being a gay figure that everyone kind of knows. That's about it, really, I have to say. I'm quite ashamed to say I didn't really know that much about him.
I was the same as you. I remember him being on TV as a kid, and I remember if gay characters came on television, rarely, but my dad would say, "Oh, there, he's a Quentin Crisp." So he becomes a noun.
Right, yes.
And then I saw this, God, over 10 years ago, maybe 2012, I first saw The Naked Civil Servant. I loved it. I'd wanted to watch it for ages. Partly because it was executive produced by Verity Lambert, first producer of Doctor Who, and she always made really interesting telly. Partly because through Jax, my mate Jacqueline Pierce, who was really old pals with John Hurt, and having been to, I don't want to name drop, but having been to John Hurt's house a couple of times, he had like a framed picture of him as Quentin Crisp in drag. In the spare bedroom I was in, there was a sketch of Quentin Crisp. I can't remember if it had been done by Quentin Crisp, but it said at the bottom of it, "Thank you for making me an icon." It was a sketch of John Hurt as Quentin Crisp. It said, "Thank you for making me an icon, Quentin Crisp." And I remember thinking, wow, that's a piece of history right there. So I was really pleased to watch it again, and I'm thrilled that we are doing LGBTQ history.
Yes.
For LGBT History Month. But remember, Dave, what about straight history? Right.
Shall I give a little kind of like little lowdown about what The Naked Civil Servant, the film, is?
Yes, do.
Okay, so The Naked Civil Servant, it's a 1975 made-for-television biographical comedy drama directed by Jack Gold, produced, as you said, by Verity Lambert. And it was adapted for film by Philip Mackey, and it was based on Quentin Crisp's 1968 book of the same name. So it stars John Hurt as Quentin Crisp, alongside Patricia Hodge and John Rhys-Davies. It was produced by Thames Television and broadcast on the 17th of December 1975 on ITV. For his performance, John Hurt won the BAFTA for Best Actor in 1976. And in 2000, the film was placed fourth in a poll by industry professionals to find the BFI TV 100 of the 20th century. So fourth. Yeah. In the top 100.
Yeah. Some pedigree, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So that's it in a nutshell. We'll deep dive into it a little bit later on.
Yeah.
But what are we going to do next?
I think we should cross the news desk, Dave, and find out what was happening in 1975.
Okay, let's gather your things. Come on, let's go. Let's have a little walk over to... Are you settled?
Yes.
The news desk.
So, on the 11th of February 1975, Margaret Thatcher defeats Edward Heath in the Conservative Party leadership election and becomes the party's first female leader. She'd previously been Education Secretary, famously known as Batchelor's Milk Snatcher, after stopping free milk at school for kiddies. And then obviously 4 years after this, she's going to become the first female PM.
Mm. Have you watched Margaret and Brian, I think it's called?
No, I want to watch it.
Yeah. So it's Harriet Walter
and Steve Coogan, isn't it?
Stars as Margaret Thatcher, and then Steve Coogan stars as Brian Walden, which was who was a famous interviewer at the time.
Yeah.
And he interviewed Margaret Thatcher on several occasions throughout her premiership, and then very famously interviewed her towards the end of her premiership and basically laid into her, and she saw it was a kind of a betrayal. Because a short time after that, she was deposed as leader,
right.
And she never spoke to him again.
Wow, gosh.
Yeah, it's great, actually.
Is it good?
Good piece of little drama, actually. I'd recommend it.
Right.
Okay, so on the 28th of February 1975, the Moorgate tube crash kills 43 people.
Yeah, that was grim. Yeah. I think it overshot its brakes or something. It's why they now have automatic brake systems, I think, because it just didn't brake in time and then hit a wall. Imagine, 43 people killed on the tube.
Gosh.
Terrible. Yeah. In another edition of The More Things Change, The More They Stay The Same, on the 25th of March, a large National Front rally is held in London. Can you guess what they were protesting about, Dave?
Could it have been about foreigners?
Yes, probably, yes. Yes, it was a protest against European integration.
Oh.
Because that year...
67% of voters support continuing membership of the EEC in a referendum.
Yeah, on the 5th of June, there's a referendum, and 67% of people want to stay in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very famous picture of Margaret Thatcher wearing a jumper with all the flags of the EU members in it. And whenever certain types in the Brexit referendum would say, well, Thatcher would have wanted out, it's like, actually, no, she didn't. She really recognised the value of being part of it. On the 5th of July, a 36-year-old Keighley woman, Anne Rogalski, I'm really sorry about my pronunciation, is badly injured in a hammer attack, probably done by Peter Sutcliffe. And then October, they find the body of Wilma McCann in Leeds, who later becomes known as Peter Sutcliffe's first victim. So 75 is when all that starts.
Just beginning. It's going to go on for 7 or 8 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay. In nicer news, 31st of October, Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody is released.
Gosh. Still one of the biggest songs ever, isn't it?
Speaking of Freddie Mercury in LGBT History Month.
Yeah, he was a gay.
He was a gay, wasn't he?
That's history. Yeah. Right, that'll do.
Yeah.
A bit of a seminal moment pop culture-wise on the 6th of November when the first public performance by punk rock band The Sex Pistols takes place. Now, they were a bit of a media invention, weren't they, The Sex Pistols? Mm. Virgin Records, I believe, is one of their first acts and kind of makes Virgin's name.
I see.
Very much a press thing.
Well, they used and abused the media, didn't they?
Absolutely.
It was very performative, wasn't it, The Sex Pistols?
Yes.
Designed to shock.
Yes, absolutely. But again, it also was representing an anger that was very current among younger people because unemployment's hit 1.5 million this year. I know I'm researching this book I'm writing at the minute. I've come to realise that the 60s, 70s, and to an extent the 80s, it's just one crisis after another. And really, in retrospect, nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. You know, it's one sterling crisis, one economic crisis, unemployment's off out of control, inflation is out of control, inflation will spiral in the late 70s. Nothing's changed. The year ends on an optimistic note on the 29th of December when the Sex Discrimination Act 1975 and the Equal Pay Act, which has taken 5 years to get passed, comes into force, aiming to end the unequal pay of men and women in the workplace. How do you think that's gone?
That
Dave?
Went really well.
Really well. It?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not complaining.
No, no. I don't know what people are complaining about, honestly. Know. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it shows you, doesn't it, that no matter how much you can bring in statutes, you can bring in new laws and things like the Race Relations Act, Race Discrimination Act, it, culture itself can take a big time to change. So that was some of the events of 1975.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Busy year.
Busy year.
Busy year.
Busy year.
Yeah. What was going on in the TV landscape?
Well, there are some notable debuts.
That's spooky, to be honest with you, because what were we watching last night? The Good Life.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, you were. Yeah, you were. You were. Yeah. And lo and behold.
This debuts, yes, The Good Life debuts on the 4th of April on BBC One.
Also that year that debuts is Survivors, which is the Terry Nation apocalypse after a plague has wiped out humanity, which ends up being a lot of talk about cottage gardening, to be fair, and how you grow broad beans.
Yes.
But The Good Life and Survivors are two sides of this coin, which is all about it's not new age, but it's organics movements is coming in, growing your own veg, recognising that pollution is destroying the planet. It's all part of the green movement, which is really taking shape at this time. So, and The Good Life does spark a trend for people growing their own and getting back to nature and stuff. Another big hitter on the 19th of September, Fawlty Towers. As its debut on BBC Two.
Yes.
I never knew that. I always thought it was BBC One.
Well, it was probably a new comedy which they weren't too sure about. Yeah,
probably alternative at that point,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Very alternative.
Yeah.
We took a deep dive into Fawlty Towers, didn't we? In one of our previous episodes. Yeah. Please look that up, gazers. First of September, Angels. Now, that was a kind of like TV nursing drama, wasn't it?
Yeah, created by Julia Smith.
Yes.
Who will then go on to create EastEnders, obviously. Also cut her teeth directing Doctor Who. One of the very few female Doctor Who directors of the classic series.
I see.
Yeah, it was a twice-weekly soap, I think. And the BBC didn't really do soaps at that point. They were a bit sniffy about them. So this was a bit of a thing. Lots of actors started on Angels. In October, Paddington begins.
Oh, Paddington. I mean, I used to watch the old Paddingtons. I've not seen any of the new Paddington movies, have you?
Yeah, they're great.
Are they?
I love them.
Are they?
I absolutely love them. Yeah.
Oh, I might have to watch them.
My cynical old heart absolutely loves them.
In January 1975, The Sweeney debuts.
Right. Another Verity Lambert show.
Was that?
Yeah.
Was that John Thor?
Yes, John Thor. Dennis Waterman. Sweeney Todd. It was named after the Flying Squad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Another groundbreaking show, because until that point, cop shows had been very comfortable and safe. Zed Cars, Dixon of Dock Green had presented the image of the policeman as this benevolent figure. The Sweeney shows them as smoking, drinking, swearing. It was a huge hit.
1st of April, Edward the Seventh. I don't know what that is.
That is Edward Fox, and it's a dramatisation of Wallace Simpson and Edward the Seventh and the Abdication Crisis, and was a big show that year. And again, it's product of the time when the royals were still kind of untouchable and distant. So this was a proper peeling back the facade, I guess. 4th of September, Space 1999.
I've not seen that.
Oh, when I was a kid, I loved it. I used to have a little toy spaceship. It was basically how they thought 1999 was going to look in 1975, which means everyone's in fabulous jumpsuits.
If only.
Yeah, if only. God, so we got Juicy Couture. Little did they realise. Some other things going on in 1975 on the telly. BBC One in February begins showing Little House on the Prairie.
That was a big one. Yeah. Little House on the Prairie reminds me of going up to my grandma's for Sunday lunch.
Yes.
It was always on a Sunday morning, wasn't
That's
it?
Right,
I didn't really get on with Little House on the Prairie. I was more a Walton's man myself.
See, both of them made me nauseous. Yeah.
Just about Lost in Space. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
That Land of the Giants.
Yeah, they were later on though. They were reprints from the 60s. I quite like those, yeah. 17th of March, BBC One begins showing the Hanna-Barbera cartoon series, Hong Kong Phooey. Loved that.
Number one super guy.
Number one super guy. Ever more super fly, is it as well? Yeah.
Yes.
Fucking great.
Yeah. Hong Kong Phooey was great. Okay, so on the 13th of August, BBC One begins showing the US detective series, The Rockford Files, starring James Garner. Never seen it.
My dad was a fan. I just remember for that Saturday Night Telly thing, it was like Starsky and Hutch or The Rockford Files. Mm. It was a grown-up show, but it was a big thing.
You've got to remember, this is our mum and dad's, what they were watching. Yeah. And we were like wee nippers just crawling around and shitting our nappies,
yes,
weren't they, in
1975? Yeah, that's had a glimpse of the past or a glimpse of the future.
Yeah, have you got your nappy on?
Checking, yes I have.
Yes, good.